All right, I'd like to have you take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers this morning. Book of Numbers, chapter number 4. And I'm going to read verse 13 for our text this morning. Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 13. And here the scriptures say unto us, "And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon." Lord, thank you today that we have this opportunity. We can come and assemble and worship in spirit and in truth. Father, this morning as we send out this message and as today we speak the words from thy word today, we pray thou will anoint thy servant with the unction of the Holy Spirit, that this morning he will have free reign in each of our lives, that he will ignite once again in us a passion for the Lord Jesus. And for all that you do today, we want to praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. In the book of Numbers, and here in chapter 4, and some of the other chapters preceding that, the Lord is giving instructions to Moses concerning how the worship of the tabernacle was to be conducted. And it's very important that to note that the worship of God in the Old Testament, as it was done in the tabernacle and later in the temple, was this morning that all the worship was instructed by the Lord. God told them exactly how to worship Him. And as we today in the New Testament sometimes fail to realize that God still teaches us today how we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But here in our text this morning, we find that one of the things that God said about the priest of that day, one of the things they were to do, that they were to remove the ashes from the altar. They were to take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon. Now, what does that mean, and what, and why is it even relevant for us today? Well, the word altar literally means a place where God met man through sacrifice. That's the biblical definition of an altar. That's where God meets man through sacrifice today. It's a place where the presence of God was in the midst of human people today. It's a place where people came together and worshiped the Lord God of glory. The first mention of an altar is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 20, where Noah built an altar. I believe today that if you study the first parts of the book of Genesis, that it was implied that altars were built before that, but God did not mention an altar until Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20. For after the flood, Noah built an altar and worshiped the Lord. Now, as I said, I believe it's implied that Noah knew what he was to do, that God instructed him what to do, and he carried enough clean animals to sacrifice and make a sacrifice unto God upon an altar following the flood. Altars were to be simple today. If you study the scripture, God said they were not to be fashioned with human talent. Hammers and saws were not to be used. They were not to be a very beautiful and used today as a talented individual could say, "I built that beautiful altar unto God." They were very simple and inordinate effect. There were to be no steps to the altar. Many reasons for that today. One reason it teaches us today that there are no steps to God, that we can't work our way up to the Lord today, that we cannot ever ascend to where God is this morning. Many times it was nothing more than a rock that had been placed upon the ground where wood could be placed upon it and the sacrifice lay thereon and an offering be made unto the Lord today. The last altar today is found in the book of the Revelation, chapter 16 and verse number 7, where it talks about those under the altar, those today that were crying out as God's judgment was poured out upon this unbelieving world, that he was righteous and true today. Understand this morning, that an altar is a place where God met man and a place where man worshiped God. Now, where is our altar today? Do we have an altar this morning? Well, the book of Hebrews teaches us that we have an altar. This morning we meet God in the altar of our heart through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our altar today. That's how we worship the Lord this morning. I'm not going into great detail about that, but understand this. The only way you can worship God today is through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. We must meet Him through Jesus today. There is no other way. And so this morning, as we read our text here, and as we look today, we're going to say some things about the altar. Now, we have what's commonly called the altar in the church, where sometimes we come together. And I think that's a good thing. It's a special place. It's been set aside in a place of worship today where the people of God can come together and make special requests unto God. That's the reason at times I ask you to come down to the altar and gather around the altar with God's people and pray a special prayer for some individual or some incident or circumstance this morning. And we gather together around the altar and meet there with God, but we still have to meet Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, this morning. You see, this is where we meet and worship God Almighty today, and the presence of God is with us. And so, as God here is speaking of this altar in the Old Testament, He says to Moses, one thing I want you to do, one thing that must be done, the ashes that are used to burn the offering has to be removed this morning. We have to remove those ashes, and literally, if you study the book of Leviticus, they had to be removed every day. Now, what does that mean, and why did God want that done today? And what does that mean to us this morning? Does it mean anything to us today? Well, I think sometimes we have to remove the ashes from the altar that we worship at this morning. Now, why does God want these ashes removed? Well, first of all, ashes smother. Ashes smother today. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, a book over, as God there talks many things about the tabernacle today and the service of the priesthood. He says this in chapter 6 and verse 13, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." You see, the fire was to be kept burning upon this altar. It was to never be extinguished. It was never to be allowed to go out. It was to be a perpetual fire. This is where the fire that was used to light the candlestick was to come from. This is where all of the fire that was used in the worship of God was to come off of this altar. For all of our fire and all of ours to come from today is from the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You see, ashes would smother the coals. Many of you at times might have had a wood heater. You may have had a fireplace, and some of you burn a brush pile and burn other things today. And, you know, when you get through with the burning, and you can walk out where you burn a brush pile and maybe go out the next day or the day after, and it'll be covered in ashes. But you can stir down through those ashes, and usually you'll find a bunch of hot coals still down in there. But what will happen eventually? All of those ashes covering those coals will smother the fire. Why do you have to remove the ashes from a fireplace? So the coals can draw air. So the coals can begin to glow. So they can begin to heat that other wood or other coal or whatever kind of fuel you're using. So this morning that it can draw this morning and be fire and glow this morning. But see, when the coals begin to be covered in ashes, there'll be no glow. There'll be no fire. And eventually, it'll go completely out this morning. You see, ashes will smother our fire. You think about that this morning. Ashes will smother our fire. Ashes today will take away our passion for the Lord. Ashes today will destroy that passion, that love that we have for Jesus Christ today. It'll do today, it'll take that away. It'll smother it out. Not today or tomorrow, but it'll eventually smother it plumb out. It'll take away our fervency and our zeal, and eventually it'll completely go out this morning. And our hearts will do what? Grow cold on God. Our hearts will grow cold on the Lord. We'll have no passion and no fervency. We'll have no zeal. We'll have no real love for the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't love the Lord. That's not what I said. But we'll have a cold heart this morning. I believe this morning that throughout Christianity today, throughout our world today, as I look around, I believe that we see a lot of cold hearts. And the fire has nearly gone out. The ashes have never nearly smothered the fire and the fervency and the passion and the zeal that people have for the Lord anymore. We find very few people today who have any real passion and zeal and fervency for God. And see, the ashes are smothering the fire for the Lord. And you see, a lot of people this morning have forgotten what God has done for them. They've just totally forgotten what the Lord has done for them today. And that ashes of forgetfulness is beginning today to cover that fire that they once had for God. A lot of people have forgotten Calvary. They've forgotten today the crucifixion. They've forgotten today the love of Jesus that went to Calvary. There's a verse over in the book of Matthew that talks about when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and it said, sitting down, they watched him there. He became a spectacle to many people. And they were simply gathered around watching Jesus die up on the cross. They were watching the Son of God die for the sins of the world. They were gathered there on Mount Calvary, sitting down. They were watching him there. I wonder today, how many times do we sit down and watch him there and really fail to see what God was doing for us? Has our heart grown so cold today that we do not see the great love that God had for us, that he would give his only begotten Son, that you and I might have eternal life, that he might be today beaten, that he might be humiliated, that he might be spat upon, that he might be cursed, that he might be nailed to a cruel Roman cross and put in the ground and ridiculed there and even mocked upon the cross. And that, this morning, have we forgotten what God did for us at Calvary? And has our heart grown so cold because it's been covered with ashes and it's about gone out because we have things that today begin to smother out what God has done for us? We've forgotten this morning. We've forgotten when we prayed and God answered. You ever prayed this morning and God answered your prayer? You ever just cried and poured your heart out to God and God answered your prayer? And God done something for you in your life that this morning is still miraculous even to this hour? You know, many times that's happened to us, but what have we done? We've forgotten about that, haven't we? We've grown cold. We've let things begin to smother out that fire we had for the Lord. You might have been driving down the road in your automobile and begin to cry out to the Lord. You have been out in the woods. You have knelt down by a chair or a couch in your home and prayed and cried out unto the Lord. We've forgotten and grown cold today. Our hearts are cold on God. Why? Because the ashes are smothering them out. But in the book of the Revelation, there's a church at Ephesus that Jesus told John the Revelator to send a letter to. And he began to compliment on many things that they were doing. But then he said that there's one thing that I've got against you. You've left your first love. You've grown away from your first love. Well, you're doctrinally, you're fundamentally sound. You're doing everything and just exactly like it ought to be done. You're crossing your T's and dotting your I's. But you've left your first love. So we left our first love today. And you know, as you study those seven churches, and it finally winds down to the church at Laodicea, God said you're neither hot nor cold, you're just lukewarm. You say you're rich and have need of nothing, and you really don't know how bad off you are. See, today as we begin to leave our first love, and as the ashes begin to smother out that fire, and as we begin to grow cold on God, eventually it's going to wind up till we become so bad that we don't even know how bad we are. We can look at ourselves and say we're rich and have need of nothing, not realize somewhere down the line we left our first love and we've grown cold on the Lord today. See, the ashes of this life will crowd out God and smother the fire that we have for God. The businesses that we have, we get so busy, don't we? You ever notice how busy we are? It amazes me sometimes. I think back to when we cooked on a wood stove and walked about everywhere we went. Didn't have electric lights or running water. Now we've got all these time-saving devices and still don't have any time. We're so busy. But what are we busy about? Are we so busy and let the business of this world that it just crowds out God and it begins to cover the fire that we have for God that's about to put the fire out in your life? I get so busy. I wonder, how can I be so busy? I talked to a friend of mine the other day down in Jackson, and he told me his wife retired back in the spring, and he said everybody told her she wouldn't like it. And he said, man, she loves it. And I said, well, how? He said, you know, she told me the other day, she said, I had never figured out I had time to go to work. But don't we get so busy? Do we get so busy that those ashes are covering up those coals for the Lord? And we're just growing cold on God today. Many times we let other things come into our life, don't we? Money. A lot of people let money come and crowd out God. We grow cold on the Lord. A lot of folks are bitter this morning. I know a lot of folks are just bitter about things. They're angry. They're letting those ashes crowd out their fire that they once had for God. How sad that is today. That's the reason God said you better get the ashes off. Off the altar. You don't want to smother out the fire. The fire's got to keep burning. You know, sometimes we need to get rid of the ashes in our life so that our fire can really burn for God. We need to look at our life. We need to look at those ashes and see what we're allowing to cover the fire that we once had for the Lord. The passion and the zeal we had for God. Oh, that we need to have. Not only does ashes smother, ashes separate. Ashes cover the coal and will separate that coal from another. That's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. You see, we need the warmth and the glow of each other today. We need the warmth and the glow of other coals. You see, when ashes begin to form over that coal, what will it do? It'll begin to cover it and isolate it from other coal. Isn't that amazing? But that's what happens in our life sometimes, isn't it? We let those coals begin to cover our, we let those ashes begin to cover our coal. And what happens? It begins to isolate us and separate us from the other coal around us. Many times people quit coming to the house of the Lord. could come into the house of God. Many times they have many reasons. And they see their fire go out. People wonder why. Because we've been separated from the other coals. Sometimes we let sin cover our life, don't we? We let sin get into our life. We don't want to be around other people. We don't want to come to church because the preacher is going to preach on it. Because the Sunday school teacher is going to teach on it. Because the song leader is going to sing on it. And we're just guilty before God. And we know we're doing wrong in our life. And those coals begin to be covered with the ash, and we just kind of isolate ourselves from everybody else and separate ourselves from the people of God. And we let problems sneak into our lives. Certainly we all have problems, don't we? And those problems will begin to cover that coal. We'll think nobody has a problem like we've got. With Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we all have problems. Well, sometimes, and I'm not saying that problems are easy, folks, but I'm telling you, when you let that problem cover your cold and isolate you from the other cold, well, you'll grow cold. It'll do something in your life. Sometimes the preacher. One fellow said, I'm not going back to church as long as that fellow's the preacher. I hate to tell you this, but he's talking about me. Well, another one of my church members, and it's been a long time ago, he said, well, where are you going to go? He said, well, I'm not going anywhere. He said, well, that's wrong too then. You see, this morning, we don't need to let anything separate us from the other coals around us so that we can draw that warmth, that glow from each other. Sometimes we let pride and just whatever today covering us and separate us and keep us from glowing to the Lord. You know what really is bad about it? Well, it's not only is that bad, but let me tell you something else. Yeah. The other coals around you suffer too. The other coals around you suffer too. Sometimes it's your family. Sometimes it's your friends. And always your church suffers today if you let that ashes begin to cover your coal and don't glow for the Lord. Because they've been so used to getting that warmth and glow from you, and it's a fire that today is to be burning every spot. Over in the book of Chronicles, there's a story about a king by the name of Uzziah. And Uzziah was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he restored the true worship of God. And Uzziah kind of got lifted up a little bit. And one day after a great victory, he went down to the temple and got his censer of incense and was going to burn it before the Lord. And the chief priest and they heard about it, and they run down and meet him, and they said, you can't do that. You're the king. We don't usurp your authority, but only the priest can burn incense before God. The Bible said Uzziah got wroth. He got mad. And about the time he got mad, leprosy rose up in him. And he had to be separated, and he lived a leper's life until the day that he died. And Jotham, his son, began to reign in his stead. And the Bible said something about Jotham that always amazed me. It said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet it entered not into the house of God. You see, Uzziah not only affected himself, he affected his family. Jotham's son Ahaz began to reign, and he did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. We need to be careful that we let those ashes today cover us, because not only will they affect us, they'll affect everybody around us. Not only do ashes smother and ashes separate, but ashes stain. When you get ashes, they'll stain and discolor. They'll stain your heart and your life. and you no longer be shining toward. When that ash is stained. Now remember, you read over in the New Testament, and as Peter's standing outside, as Jesus is on trial before the Sanhedrin Council, and he's warming his hands there at the enemy's fire, and the little maid said, "Hey, that guy's with one of." Oh, Peter said, "Not me, huh? Ain't me." Now, it was just a few hours before Peter said, "Lord, I'll die for you. I'll die for you, Lord. I love you that much. I won't let anybody take you. Nobody's going to crucify you. Nobody's going to harm you. I'll stand up for you. I'll stand in the way." But what happened? Here he's standing by the enemy's fire, won't even admit that he's been following the Lord. Wonder how many times do we stand by the enemy's fire and do that today? I'm not going to be too critical of Peter. I've probably done the same thing in some way, form, or fashion. Why? Because those ashes begin to stain my life. And our life no longer becomes a testimony and a light for the Lord. Because we've allowed it to stain us. We've allowed it to come into our life and people see the stain. We need to get rid of the ashes, folks. Sometimes we just got to get the ashes out so that we can really go back to worshiping the Lord. You know, the amazing thing, the Bible says that, "And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon." Purple, the color of royalty. You see, we need to get rid of the ashes and cover it with the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll guarantee you this morning that when the Lord Jesus begins to cover you, He'll ignite a fire in you, and you'll be warm for the Lord. You'll glow for God. You'll have a testimony. You'll have the fire and a zeal for God. You'll have a passion for the Lord. We need to get back where we're passionate for God, folks. We need to get back where we have a fervency and have our hearts on fire for God. And we're letting the fires of this world smother our coals and put out our fire. We're allowing it to separate us from other today and putting out not only our fire, but hindering the fire of others. We're allowing it to stain our lives so that when others see us, they don't see a fire for God anymore. They see a dreadful stain. But this morning, we need to get rid of those ashes and cover it with a purple cloth of the blood of the Son of God and be on fire for God over and over again. What ashes are in your life today? Are you on fire for the Lord? Do you need to get rid of some ashes out of your life today? That's the question you have to answer in your own heart and in your own life today, and get back on fire and be passionate for the Lord. All right, let's stand together with us. Brother Boothby and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you might take this very simple message. You might use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name we pray.